Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, I'm Giovanna Fletcher, and welcome to my podcast, Happy Mum, Happy Baby. I've recently written a book called Happy Mum, Happy Baby, which followed my account of motherhood, but this podcast is slightly different. I'm inviting others to share. It's a difficult journey being a mum, or dad, because we're going to have both, and I just want people to open up. I want to hear all about what they've found fun, what they've found difficult. We're going to be talking about how they might have felt overwhelmed with certain things, judged, pressured, talking about body confidence, all sorts. We're going to cover it all and just see what we find. So, this week, my first guest, let's talk about her. She's epic on all accounts. She's a TV presenter, a radio DJ, she's a style icon, and someone everyone would love a couple with, which is fab for me, because she's my best mate. With 3 children of her own, this lady has helped me through my own journey of being a mum. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the wonder that is Emma Willis. So, Emma, this is a podcast. I wrote a book. All about.
Did you?
I did. Did you not know?
Yeah, I got one.
I didn't see you for so long.
I got one. You sent me a copy.
I wrote a book called Happy Mum, Happy Baby, which kind of, it's all about my journey into motherhood and the bits that I found difficult. It kind of starts with the mum that I thought I would be.
Yeah.
And then goes into getting pregnant and then how I actually found motherhood and how it wasn't anything like I thought it was going to be in terms of the struggle. And then the judgment that comes with it and the guilt that comes with it. All the love as well. That's, you know, limitless. But I think for the podcast, I want other people to kind of share. Because yeah. I've loved sharing and having the feedback from other people has been amazing. Because I think we all feel like we're so alone.
Totally.
But I said to you about coming on the podcast. Let's start here. I said to you about coming on and you weren't sure. You blanked my text, Emma Willis.
No,
and
I
emailed
didn't.
You and you didn't reply.
I didn't blank your text. I just forget that I haven't replied. So, no, it wasn't a blanking of your text because I didn't want to do it. It was just because you are very open and you talk about everything.
I do.
And I am very open and talk about everything, but I do it with you behind closed doors. So asking me to come on something like this terrified me. But then when you explained what it was, I was like, oh, yeah, fine, I'll do that.
But you don't talk about motherhood and stuff that often.
No, not very often because... And I think I've mentioned this to you before. I think motherhood is the hardest job you'll ever have. But I feel like I shouldn't talk about how hard it is because I've got it quite easy.
You don't have it easy though,
I know,
Emma.
But
you work
I feel,
so hard.
I feel like
You've
I do because
kids.
I have a great job. I have a great husband. I have great children, great family who help me all the time. So it's not like I'm pulling my hair out because I haven't got childcare or I haven't got this, that and the other. So I feel like because I've got it quite good, I shouldn't moan.
But motherhood is hard. And
it's
there are
really
moments
hard.
That you must struggle and the pressure and everything that comes with that. So whenever you do find it difficult, you must feel guilty.
Feel totally guilty. And I think I've probably told you before that there are times when you do have 10 balls up in the air and you're juggling and juggling and juggling and juggling and you're going, it's okay, I'm not going to drop any, I'm not going to drop any. And then all of a sudden they come crashing down on your head because Matt's away and my parents can't make it down and I need to find childcare, but nobody knows my new baby apart from one other person and she's got two kids of her own, so I can't ask her to come over all the time. And all of a sudden, all of those balls drop on your head and you just fall in a pile on the floor and cry.
But this is why I wanted you on.
And then you kind of go, what am I crying for? Again, that guilt kicks in and you go, why am I crying? I've got three incredible kids who moan sometimes, but the rest of the time are absolutely golden children. I couldn't ask for better kids. And I've got a lovely house and a great job. Husband who's brilliant and amazing family. And none of them are here and I can't take it on my own. And you start to feel like you can't cope and you're a failure and that you're bad at what you
do. But the universal feelings, feeling like a failure, having that guilt, the pressure, it's all universal. And I
totally
think that's what makes sharing it, like, for other people so uplifting in a way, because they have that all the time. And I think they look at people in the public eye and they just feel like they've got it all and that it's perfect. And actually, I think someone like you saying, actually, there are moments where I don't cope, even if it's moments where, you know, there is a juggle, you do so much and it's a juggle and you're trying to do everything and you're trying to be a super mum. So I think hearing from someone like you that it is difficult lets everyone else off. You know what I mean? Lets everyone else off the hook.
I don't know if it lets everybody else off. I think why I feel guilty as well about talking and moaning about it is because, as I've said, I've got lots of help. But when it's not there, it's really hard. And I think then it's at times like that when you put everything into perspective and you go, this is one day.
Yeah.
Imagine if this was your everyday and you had three kids and you were on your own and you had no help. And it wasn't worth you going to work because of how much you'd have to spend on childcare and all those kind of balls that you'd have to be juggling and figuring out that part of your life, that is what makes me then step back and go, okay, pull your shit together. Wipe your bloody tears away. Stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Well, I just want you
and
to that
know
is
that what gets me back up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back up on my feet and go, right, okay, I can do this. I am a woman. I am strong. I am able.
But I just want you to know that you're not alone. And that, you know,
thank
there
you.
Are so many people out there that are struggling. And it, what you have and everything, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't
matter. I know, it doesn't, because it's the situation you're in at the time, isn't it?
It's all relative to you and your situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about confidence.
Okay.
Yeah. Has your confidence changed since being a mum?
Yeah. I'm trying to think kind of from a personal point of view and from a work and career point of view, if maybe personally it's my confidence has dipped, but professionally it's raised. But I think my confidence is better on both sides.
Right.
Because, and I don't know whether that's partly because of what I did for so long was modelling and I had to be so aware of how I looked and what I did, and that was my job, was my body looking a certain way. Now I don't care about that. Like, I want it to feel good and be strong rather than look incredible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
You do,
because
look incredible.
Because I had three kids, and I remember you saying this, like, I don't care what my body looks like, it's what my body's achieved.
Yeah.
And to be able to do that, I've grown a human being and I've pushed it out. So I kind of went from a career where everything was about how I looked to all of a sudden I could eat cake and do what I wanted. It wasn't about how I looked anymore. It was about what I said and what I did and if I read my words right. People watching. So from a personal point of view, I think my confidence was better because it wasn't all about what I looked like. And from a career point of view, I used to be really insecure and I still am quite paranoid. I think I've always been paranoid about everything in my life, but I am quite insecure about my ability and if I'm any good. But the things I used to worry about, like interviewing people and getting panicked and oh my goodness, I'm so nervous. I do get very nervous for live telly, but now I just put everything into perspective by going, I'm raising three children to be human beings and grown-ups. Like, that is so much pressure, that the pressure of interviewing One Direction, it's just nothing. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of how I compare everything now. Like, can I do this? Can I do this? oh my goodness, can I do this? Yes, I can. Because if I'm putting three children on the path to their future and hopefully doing a good job with it, this is a walk in the park. This hour of live telly is just a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having kids is amazing fun, but it's amazing pressure and it's terrifying. And again, you don't want to drop the balls. You want to create them into the best specimens of human beings that you possibly can. So that's how I compare everything now is, can I do this? Yes, I'm raising children. Can I do this? Yes, I get them dressed every day. Can I do this? I get them to school on time. Can I do this? I do homework still. Like, you know, it's kind of like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think for confidence with me, when I first had the babies, when I first had Buzz, confidence just hit the floor. I think because I suddenly was in overwhelmed that life had completely changed. I really felt like I didn't know what I was
doing.
But
I think that is, I mean, I obviously can't speak for everybody. I was like that with my first because at the time as well, I didn't have a job. I couldn't get a job for love nor money. So I was at a point where I didn't know whether I should still be doing this. I didn't know whether I was any good. I'd had a baby. My hormones were all over the place. Mm. I'd had a really traumatic birth. I couldn't breastfeed. I was producing no milk. She was back in hospital after 3 days because she had to be fed via a tube because she had nothing in her and I didn't know I hadn't been feeding her because no one had taught me what to do.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was rock bottom. But I think with your first child, that happens because your life is literally never going to be the same again.
No, never. And I don't think I was fully prepared for that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, there were moments where it was quite dark in the
first
3 weeks.
But you thought you were. Because I remember before you got pregnant, not that you were ready for the darkness, but you were so ready to have a baby.
Oh, totally.
That's all you wanted.
Yeah.
I remember asking you every month.
Jay?
You wanted to tell me. So that for you must have been...
Yeah. A real
kind of...
Shock.
The highest of the highs to suddenly being way down there.
Honestly, the first 3 weeks, I seriously wondered whether I had a maternal bone in my body. And I can remember asking myself, can I send him back? Yeah.
Don't say that!
But no, that's, you know, and it's only through sharing now that I realise that that's something that actually a lot of women go through.
Yeah.
And I think if you haven't heard that other people feel like that, then you feel isolated. You feel like a bad mum.
Yeah. I felt like a bad mum because for the first 3 days at home, I thought I'd been feeding her 24 hours a day. Really, no milk had been coming out. Oh. So she'd had nothing.
Yeah.
And literally, she just turned and you could see it. And I took her to A&E immediately and they sorted her out and she was fantastic. But I think it's all of that pressure, isn't it, the first time around? It's the people say, don't they, like, you'll know, you'll instinctively know what the cries mean.
Oh, the cries.
They all sound the same. What are you talking about? It's just a really long, loud cry. There's no difference in any of
I can remember saying to Matt, do you know the cry? Do you know the differences with the cry? What do they mean?
None of us knew the cry. You know, and also there are so many people to listen to.
Mm.
You know, you've got the midwives who are fantastic, and then you've got the health visitors, and then you've got the on-call midwives, and then you've got your family and your friends who have had babies and the ones who haven't had babies but think they can give you advice.
We've all been there. It's easy to give advice when you've not even had kids.
What do you mean you can't come out tonight? Just get a babysitter. Doesn't work like that. And, you know, my blessing really was my mum because I, even though with Isabel, we had taken her back in and they sorted her out, I still continued to try and breastfeed for as long as I could because that was the thing to do and that was the right thing and that's what's best for her. And, you know, everybody that came in to visit me, I felt like I was looked down on any time they came in and there was a bottle of formula next to me.
Right.
It was kind of like, oh, not persevering. I was like, no, I am. I am persevering, but she wants more and I haven't got any. So I had to top her up with, do you know, it's little things like that. And then after 6 weeks of trying so hard, I was so down and so depressed and just crying all the time because I wanted to do the best for her. Then my mum just went, stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets me all upset thinking about it. Stop it, Emma. You're honestly, you're driving yourself mad when all she needs is for you. Ah, gee, what have you done? For you to give her the best start. And if that is from your boob or from a bottle, just give her love, which you are. But you being this way is not the best thing for her.
That's what you said to me.
Yeah. So I got a bottle and a bit of formula and it was just happy days from then on.
Well, that's what you said to me when Buzz was 6 weeks and we were about to go up to Manchester.
I can't believe it in a podcast. You made me cry.
It's emotional stuff. It's about being a mum.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
But no, I can remember you saying the same thing to me at 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And that kind of made me go, oh yeah, I don't have to do that. No. I don't have to do this. There are other options.
Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic if you can. And
well,
I think for me, you should.
Saying that just made me go, oh yeah,
but it's just knowing that there is another option.
Yeah.
And whether it's, I know I'm not a midwife and I shouldn't advise this, but whether it's give as much boob as you can and top up with formula or if you just need sleep at night, you know, express your milk and make him get up, whoever's next to you.
Yeah.
Or if they will take some formula, give it to them in the night if you just need a kip. Like, do what is best. Happy mum, happy baby. Do
and
you know what
exactly
I mean?
That's where totally, the title comes from, yeah.
It's absolutely right. Think about how much of your focus and attention and how much it's can stress you out just feeding. Then you've got the whole other world that goes with having a new baby for the first time as well, you know, with sleeping and cleaning bottles and, you know, sorting yourself out and even having a shower. Like, that just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always the bottom of the list. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So feeding is causing that much stress. And then you've got everything else to think about as well. You know, your house, your washing, laundry, all of that kind of stuff. Like, it just piles on top and on top and on top. And that pile gets bigger and you get lower and lower and lower.
I think for me, we went away for 2 weeks when Buzz was 6 weeks old, and that was the best thing. It meant I could just literally have my boobs out all day long. I didn't have to worry about the cooking or the cleaning. And that's the only reason why I could continue.
I thought you meant you went away and left him.
Bye!
It was the best time of my life.
But there is a lot of pressure. And judgment. I think there's pressure and judgment. Do you feel judged?
I think as I said, with the whole frowning at my bottle, like having bottle next to me, I suppose with my first child, I did. But I think, again, that's the unknown. And then you learn so much the first time that once the second one comes along, you know, after,
it doesn't really
after
matter.
2 weeks, I was like, those boobs are going away now. And again, it was really so soon. I'm like, yep, that's what I need to do to be able to continue my life with my children and my job and my home and my husband and everything it is that I need to do day to day in my life. That works best for me. And if that works best for me, it's going to be best for him.
Yeah.
So I think first time round, yes, I think you feel judged constantly. You feel judged on every single thing you do, you know, whether it's breastfeeding or bottle feeding, or for me personally, whether it's breastfeeding in public, being scared to do it, not doing it.
Do you know, there's even a thing, breastfeeding in public, but covered up or not covered up. That's another judgment. Because I was after 6 months, I was like, I'm feeding outside. This is amazing.
I know. I remember you being so overwhelmed and
empowered.
Like, oh my God, I'm such a great woman.
So I took a picture and put it on Instagram of, like, you know, of a nice blanket over me, like a little thin muslin type thing. And I did actually have comments of judgmental people saying, but you shouldn't cover them up though, should you? You wouldn't like to eat under a blanket. That's how, come on, is this or, like, I've cooped them up in a car, all the feeds for the first 6 months. And this is me being outside. I don't think people should be so judgmental over things. That I think there is something about parenting that makes people want to say, it's like, no, I did like this, so I think everyone should. And actually, yeah, we should just all chill out and just be accepting that we don't know.
Everybody
that,
does it differently, don't they? And everyone's baby is different.
Yeah.
So, you know, what is good for one isn't good for another. Like, I called you the other day with my third child and went, oh, can I give them bottled water? Is she allowed bottled water? You'd think I would know.
But
right?
The thing is, it changes so much. I don't, like, what is advised or whatever, it all changes.
Yeah.
So you can't even keep up.
And, you know, and a lot of it, I suppose, revolves around food, doesn't it? When do you start feeding? What type of feeding should you do? Should you do baby-led weaning? Should you do, like, all of that stuff? It is a constant scrutiny, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it should just be support rather than picking faults with people and going, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do that. Even if it's just your wording, like, yeah, see what you're doing, but have you tried or have you thought about just giving people ideas rather than going, no, that's wrong, that's wrong, or, you know.
But
I think,
also, you'd think that all other mothers would understand the pressures and how we're all feeling on every level, and this lack of sleep and the emotion and everything.
And all goodness, have they gone back to work so soon?
Yes.
I couldn't do that if I was them. Like, oh, I love it. I said
Emma
it out loud.
You didn't say that.
That one day a week that I go to work, I'm 2 months old. Oh. It's bliss.
Adult conversation.
It's just a little bit of normality. And I don't know whether not that it's not normal having my children with me, but it's just a day for me, a day a week when it's, I can go and think like myself and go and think about something other than washing and poo, you know? And I miss them so much when I'm not there. Like, I love getting home at night and I go into their bedroom immediately and I kiss them all and try not to wake them up. But it's just good for my mentality.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, again, I don't want to be one of those people that going, you should all have time for yourself. Everybody should have time for themselves. But I do think it's really important. I think especially, I think it's hard to do with your first child.
Yeah.
And I didn't do it with my first child. I couldn't get a job. But apart from that, I had no idea what was going on, let alone leaving her to go to work or to go and do anything. Like, just wouldn't have done it. But then with the second, when you feel like you know what you're doing a little bit more, it's like, okay, I get this. I'm not brilliant, but I get it. Like, I get what's meant to happen here. And that is great. But just for a day, I'm just going to go and do something for my head.
Yeah. Is work that thing that you do for yourself? Yeah. Do you do other things outside of work?
Not really. Work is my thing. Apart from my splurge is a pedicure.
Which is a new thing.
It is. They happen about once or twice a year. Normally when I'm going to the
you
sun.
You are pushing the boat.
I know. So again, they don't happen very often because I still am at the bottom of that list of what needs to be achieved each day. But work is my day off.
Yeah. I think that's the feeling of lots of parents. Yeah. I know loads of dads are like, they go to work to
totally
relax.
It sounds awful to say it's much easier to be at work than it is to be at home, because that sounds like you don't want to be around your kids. But in a daily workload, what I have to do at work in a day, that is much easier than what I have to do at home in a day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The workload at home is immense.
And it's never ending.
And it's never ending.
You can go for a wee and everything at work. No one comes with you.
You totally. You can.
I mean, you can try today. I might come with you, just so you know.
And I stay clean at work. I've got porridge and everything over, milk and all sorts over me at home. But I love each day equally. So my home life, I love as much as my work life. You know, I'm very lucky because I have a great job that I love and I have a home life that I love as well. Yeah. So it's just, there's much more to do at home than there is at work.
It's never ending. It's never ending. I've started to realise that how much at home I'm doing stuff all the time. So when the kids are playing, like, say Buzz wants to do something with me, or come, look, Mum, look at this. And I'm like, oh, 1 second, I'm just doing this. Or, you know, just doing the washing, or I'm just doing the cooking. And actually, I've realised that I've got to stop and just enjoy Buzz and enjoy Buddy, because, you know, they don't care. They don't care if the washing's done.
I know.
You know.
But see, I totally know exactly what you mean, but my brain cares.
Yeah.
Because, again, if all that, what's going on around me, washing and washing up and cooking and not having food prepared for tricks or whatever it is, that starts to mount on top of me and I sink lower and lower and I get more and more miserable. And then if I'm miserable, I snap at them.
Yeah.
And I don't want to snap at them
because
I haven't done the washing or whatever. Like, I'm like you, I don't stop all day. I'm like, this has got to be done, that's got to be done, that's got to be done. My two are at school, so they're kind of occupied.
Yeah.
And Trixie, I kind of do as much as I can with, but she's so young that, you know, you kind of can only teach her to a certain point.
Yeah.
And play pass the ball for so many minutes or hours. It's a little bit easier at the minute. But when they're at the age of yours, it's, you know, they do want to do stuff with you. But there is always something to do. The other day I was out at work and Matt had come home from tour for a visit and I gave him a little list of things that I, literally like three things. I was like, can you put a load of washing on? Can you make sure the dishwasher's done? And can you, I don't know, one other thing, clean up, hang your clothes up or something. Yeah, totally do it. Got home. I was like, how's your day? He's like, I had a 2-hour nap with Trixie today. And I was like, what? He went, oh, it was so nice. And I went, you napped for 2 hours. That's a full night's sleep for me sometimes when you're away. And I don't even sit down for 10 minutes, let alone have a 2-hour nap in the day. I immediately. But then good for him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Good for him. He had a lovely time with her. But I was just like, I could have done this and I could have done that. I could have done that. And again, you start, I get wound up and I'm like, why doesn't he think like me?
Yeah.
It's because he's not me and I don't have to think the way I think, but I do.
Yeah.
And I could switch off and I could go, I'm not going to do this now and I'm not going to do that now, but I don't. And that's my fault. That's just the way I'm programmed.
I can actually remember.
And to expect everybody else to be programmed that way is not fair. But he does bear the brunt of it because it's not programmed the same as me.
I can remember, actually, when the kids were younger and coming over to yours, and for a section of it, you'd run off and you'd do stuff in the kitchen or you put a load of washing on. And now I totally understand it. I understand completely why making that most of that time where there's someone over occupying the kids and having fun with them, why you would...
Yeah.
I mean, I do the same now.
And I feel terrible sometimes because people come over and I'm like, they think that I've invited them over to watch my kids. Part of me has. part of me really wanted you there, but then not you personally, but some other people.
Yeah.
But then when I think about it, the worst is when you invite friends over that don't have children because they're literally going, she's inviting me over to babysit. I'm like, no, I did want to see you. I just need to put a load of washing on. I just have to do this. And that is something else that I've noticed as well. It's always, mommy, can you help me with this? Yeah, I just have to go and turn that down. Mm-hmm. I just have to go and feed tricks. I just have to.
Yeah.
And I've noticed my kids saying it now.
Oh, really?
And they've got that from me.
Yeah.
You know, come and sit down now for dinner. Yeah, I'm just doing this with a toy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no. I'm feeding it into their brains.
Yeah.
Not that it's like a bad thing, but just instead of going, yes, I can do this for you. Or not right now. It's always, I've just got to do this first. I've just got to do this first.
There's always something,
isn't
there?
Always something.
It's never ending.
I'm just doing this, I'm just doing this, I'm just doing this. Stop just doing that.
Yeah.
And just go and sit with them and play.
Yeah. Because that's all they want.
That's all they want. Mm. But I just want to get the washing done.
Oh, Emma, thank you so much for being my first guest on the podcast.
Oh, I thought this was going to be really weird and it was lovely. But you didn't make me cry.
Which is because we don't just normally get to sit down and talk.
I know, we don't. I know, because normally it's, stop it! Oh, look at my foot. She's just peed on my foot.
Sorry about the lack of cake. That was
an error.
Insight. Yeah, sorry.
Don't do it with your next guest.
I won't. I've learnt my error.
Okay,
thanks.
You're welcome.
A huge thanks to Emma for being my first ever guest. I think we can all agree that she's an absolute delight. It was just nice to sit down and just have 30 minutes to talk without being interrupted, to be honest. If you would like to hear more, then please click subscribe because I'm going to be talking motherhood with lots of different people. Fern Cotton, Frankie Bridge, Izzy Judd. Also, if you want to see my videos, then please head over to YouTube. It's youtube.com/Giovanna's World. And you can see my face rather than just listen to my voice. You're welcome. Take care and I'll see you next time. Bye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.